rock of my salvation, go to the stone. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ, a solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Amen. How many can say amen to that? Hallelujah. It's the only thing that's not moving. The only thing that's not shaking. The only thing we can count on. Amen. And I'm so glad to have that rock this morning, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Well, we're blessed to have a visiting minister with us this morning, our brother Danny Matanga, and his son Benjamin's with us as well. It's nice to have Benjamin with us. He's quite musically talented, and they have quite the orchestra back home, quite a group of musicians, and which he trains as well, and song leaders and what have you. So we're blessed to have them with us this morning, and our brother Danny is a seasoned pastor from they're from the town of Rusepi, which is south of Harare, I believe, which Harare is one of the bigger cities. And so they've come a long way to be in service with us this morning. And so we just want to pull on the word and get as much out of it as we can. And pray that our brother is comfortable here amongst us. I know that we're missing quite a few. There's a lot of things going on right now. But anyway, we're here. So you've come with an appetite this morning and come with needs, right? How many has needs this morning? Amen. How many believes that God? So raise your left hand if you have a need, okay? Raise your right hand if you believe that he can meet your needs tonight. Amen. 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 All over the building. Just a couple of quick things before we have our brother come up. First of all, we are thankful to welcome baby Hadassah into the world, and that everything went well. And then we're grateful to have Brother Malachi with us this morning. If you didn't know it, he chose to put his foot in an unnatural position last week, and a direction that it's not supposed to go. It looked like it popped completely out of joint, and so they had to put it back in, and then there was a little fracture involved. So we're thankful that the Lord came on the scene, and we're praying for a complete and total recovery for our dear brother. And there's also meetings that I believe today is the last day of the meetings down in Agua Prieta. So we want to keep those meetings in prayer. Thankful for our brother and the saints there. We also want to keep in prayer the storm victims this week. If you didn't know, there was a Category 5 hurricane that hit the panhandle of Texas of Florida, worked its way up through Georgia and Tennessee and North Carolina and South Carolina. Did quite a bit of damage, a lot of flooding. There are places where the roads are, where there's no road access to some of the towns. And then there was several fatalities, we know. I got a text from Brother Barry Coffey from North Carolina, and he said that there's a lot of needs, but he doesn't have anything specific that he can tell us right now. But as I hear more, if there are things that are urgent that we're able to help with, I'll certainly let the church know so that we can do what we can do. So not only was there a lot of flooding, especially in, as I said, in Georgia and Florida, Tennessee, North and South Carolina, I think there was a dam that broke, but there was a lot of property damage as well, right? The strong winds that were blowing through makes us almost embarrassed to point out the branch that broke off over here. I'm sure it wasn't the kids swinging on it. It's a pretty hefty branch. The advice is good. The advice is solid. We were kind of joking when we drove up. We said, well, I told those kids not to swing on that branch. And It's a pretty serious branch that broke off, so we must have had a microburst here or something. Then a reminder that tonight we're going to have a youth-oriented service as we do once a month, and so we're looking forward to that, and we want to keep that in prayer. Our brother has never been to the States before. Benjamin has been to Washington, D.C., that area. I'm glad he was able to come out this way. His dad's never been to the States before, so we've been taking him out and showing him some of the sights. And I'll tell you what, they should get the T-shirt. They're real troopers because, as you know, this is a heat wave that we're having, and it's very unusual for us to have these high temperatures here at the end of September. But I think it was 106 on Friday, and Brother Andy took them up to Sabino, and they hiked to Eagle Rock. So they're troopers. They're rugged. So they came a long way to been hearing about these things over the years, and now they heard, and now they see. So we're just pray that God would richly bless their trip, that they go home with their cup full, and that they're blessed. And then just one more thing. We know that it's election season right now. We know we've got about a month before the polls close. I was going to say before people go to the polls, but they already are voting by mail and otherwise, but before the polls close. This is a real opportunity for our light to shine, because we know that society is polarized. We know that the devil is having a heyday, just trying to pit one person against another. It's our opportunity. We trust God. We're, you know, we already voted. We voted for Jesus, and he voted for us. So God's completely in control of whatever happens. So let people see the peace that you have, and let people see that you're just not caught up in, you know, the devil would like to pit people against one another and, you know, spread hatred and what have you. This is not our home. We're just passing through, right? You have a right as an American to vote, and we understand that. But, you know, come what may, God's in charge, right? And if things were really good here, who'd be praying to go home? Right? There's more and more reasons every day to want to go home, right? Amen, amen. So as our brother prepares to make his way up, he counts the stars. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. How many believes that this morning? Amen. Don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. Don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day.
like to certainly greet you this morning in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So happy to be able to be here. And the pastor has opened his doors that we would be able to come and have fellowship. Certainly appreciate Brother Baker and Sister Baker for receiving us, being with us, making us very comfortable, taking us around. You know, when you are in a foreign country, let alone a faraway country, just that gesture will do you a lot of good. So I'm so thankful for what they've done for us, to take care of us, take us around. And the brother also assigned by the pastor who took us the other day. Indeed, I was just saying as we're going around, we have heard, but now we have seen. My mind began to go back to that message, what house will you build me? Brother Branham speaking about coming west, where he says, remember, I went there by vision. God told him to come. And then you begin to wonder, you go up the mountains, you see all that God had written in nature. There is no way he could have remained out there. He had to come and complement nature so that God could say, this is what I did from before the foundation of the world, and today is the manifestation. Indeed, we are a real privileged people to have seen what we have seen, to have heard what we have heard, and to believe what we believe. Then you understand, as he says, Moses had to be drawn out to the wilderness, and he wrote the Old Testament. Then he says again, Paul had to be drawn to the wilderness, and he wrote the New Testament. Then he begins to speak about the opening of the seven seals. In other words, now he completes the cycle. Moses, Paul, and then the revelation thereafter that were to be finished. We are privileged to see the ending of history. I'm so thankful. Indeed, he is a God of the mountains. Amen. May God richly bless you. We feel so warm. I feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit. Every brother we met, and you can tell something testifies from within, because we are spiritual beings and we can contact each other in the flesh. But there is that aspect of the Spirit also that contacts and that tells us the truth of who this one is and who that one is. Amen. May God richly bless you. I think it would be good that I can just give a brief introduction of myself and also my son there. My name is Brother Danny Matanga. I am married to one wife by the name of Laina Matanga. And I got married about 1979, that's about 45 years ago. And I turned 69 in March, so next March I'll be turning 73 score and 10. And my wife also turned 66, her next birthday 67. God blessed us with seven children, but the seventh went to be with the Lord at 6 months. And that was the last born, but Benjamin now is the last born. So we remain with six children alive. And that is four boys and two girls. They are all married. And by the grace of God, they are also serving the Lord. And we have about 17 grandchildren. So we have a little church in our home. Amen. We would like to really thank the Lord for the blessings that he gave us. And Some of the children are also serving with me in the ministry. And I came into this message in 1978. That was when we were training at college to be teachers. And I've been pastoring this little church also in Rusape since 1993. That's about 31 years now. And I'm so happy that God has privileged me to be a part of this bride. I don't know if I was to pay, whether I could be able to pay for it. It's just nothing but the grace of God. And we certainly appreciate to meet with you also as a bride on this part of the globe. It was a pipe dream. But now we're standing on the other side of the pipe and say, indeed it is. Amen. Shall we pray? Blessed Lord Jesus, want to thank you this morning. Lord, while we appreciate you for the wondrous works that you have performed around this area, Lord, that there was a visitation in this our age, and that, Lord God, you allowed that in this part of this country, this part of this world, you had written a testimony in nature to verify and to authenticate the message you were sending with a messenger. Lord, going around this town, seeing places, Lord, even where your prophet might have moved, seeing in those mountains where even the sword came down to, seeing, Lord, even that Eagle Rock, Father God Almighty, we are left with no words but just to say, help us, Lord. We need your grace. Father God, may you help us to just constantly surrender ourselves and dedicate ourselves more also as we see the day approaching. Whatever is around us is testifying that our days on this earth are winding up. It's pointing out a greater day that we have been looking forward to with great anticipation, the resurrection of the dead in Christ and the translation of who we are alive, catching up with them out in the air to meet up with you. Father, we have talked about these things for long. We have read about these things for long, but something tells us it's about the breaking forth of a new day. Help us not to tire. Help us not to get weary. Encourage us, Lord, every moment and every day to know that we are somewhere about there. We thank you, Father, even as we appreciate you for our pastor here, his wife, family, the elders of the church, every brother and sister who gather up around this part of the continent, uplifting up and raising that flag of heaven sky high. We pray that, Lord Jesus, this morning once again, even as I stand to just say these few words, may somebody be encouraged, Lord God Almighty, and to have a hope in this life. I pray as I commit myself to you that you may grant me the grace to step aside and let you just take your position and be able to speak to your people. I humbly pray and come before you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So I bring you also greetings from my wife and those that might have known that we have come here from that part of the world. Amen. And Zimbabwe is in Africa, on the southern part of Africa. From Zimbabwe you go to South Africa. Then from Zimbabwe, you go to Mozambique. Mozambique is, that's where the Indian Ocean is. South Africa, that's where the Indian Ocean and also the Atlantic meet. So we are on the southernmost part, I think, towards the Tropic of, you call it Capricorn or whatever, or Cancer? South, yeah. So that's about where we come from. Now, this morning, I want to just take this little topic and then see what things I can pull out there just to encourage us along this life's narrow way. In a world full of discouragement, in a world where so many are giving up, but we want to be encouraged to believe that the hope that has been placed in us by this revealed message is not fake, but it's reality. And one day, that reality will burst wide open before us, and then all the toils and snares of this life will be over. I want to turn together with you to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21. And I read from 22 to 23, and from there I will get to Galatians 3, 13. Deuteronomy 21, 22 to 23 reads, "And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God." For he that is hanged is accursed of God, yes. "That by the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." So, Galatians 3:13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." Now, it talks of somebody hung on the tree is accursed. But now it turns over. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." One would think that that curse is permanent. But there is one who came and redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. "Being made a curse for us." So in other words, if we had any curses, if we had any of that sort, God came so that our curses would be taken care of. "For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Amen. That's a changeover. That's the change of season. Amen. Shall we pray? Blessed Lord Jesus, we commit the reading of the scripture to you. I pray that you may just come and anoint these words and give grace, Lord God Almighty, over what we shall say. Lord, I pray that it may be a blessing to us and encourage us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, for a little while, I want to look at this topic. I arrived at this because I'd noticed over years lots of things that bother people. You look at a brother, a very nice brother. You look at a sister, a very nice sister. But somehow there is certain things that tend just to happen to them, that hit them down, that gets them discouraged. Somehow they cannot shake those things from themselves. It's things that are beyond them. It's situations that they battle around with in the natural. And they don't know what to do. And for many years, I was just thinking over until one day, then I just clicked with a statement which the prophet spoke. Then from there emanated this. So I want to title this little message, "Breaking Generational Traits, Cycles, and Curses." Why am I inserting the word generational? Because some of those traits, some of those cycles, they follow generations. You are under a heavy load of that. But you can see it in your father. You can see it in your grandfather. Those who know it can see it even four generations that came earlier than you. But thanks be to God that those cycles can be broken. Because the cycle breaker, who is Jesus Christ, is in your life. Breaking generational traits. Breaking generational cycles. Breaking generational curses. What am I saying? We see there is cases sometimes that are not of our making. There is traits many times that are not of our making. There is certain behaviors that are not of our making. Just like in your physical. Right, I think of my father. If you see me, or like, okay, I think of my son there, right? If you look at him, his forehead, you look at him, his eyes, you look at him, his nose, it's not of his making. Right. You look at me and say, a chip off of the old Brock. Right. He has no part in what he is. Right. Somebody somewhere determined it. And it runs through the vein of the blood. But I thank God, there is another vein of the blood which can conquer and reverse all those others. Sometimes you see the way you walk, you never chose your step. Maybe you walk with your back so straight. And those who know your father say, your grandfather used to have such a step. It's something that's beyond you. Maybe you look at your voice, the way you speak, the jacks in your voice, right? Somebody says, that's how your great-grandfather used to speak. It's not in you, it's in the system. So you'll find that there is cycles, there is things that come around our lives that actually we are not in charge or in control. But there is one who is a cycle breaker, who can break all those things. That is Jesus, who redeems us from the curse. So you see, I believe that many times we see ourselves and pity ourselves because of the things we have done, because of the things that we go through. But yet it's something that's beyond our control. I've noticed, I don't know in your cultures, but in our cultures, you can have so many of these things that sometimes, like even in marriages, you can trace it back that in that genealogy, whoever marries, they divorce the first wife. But it's the second wife that they will have to settle down with. And you hear them, old people even just say, that's what happens in our lineage. We have certain lineages whereby you see at least in a family, maybe two or three first girls are not married. Maybe the other will get married. You trace it in the immediate family. You go in the family of the father. You go in the family of the other generation. You go in the family of the other generation. You can almost see a trend there. It's a trait. It's something that's engraved in their system. But I'm here to introduce to you, brother, the generational breaker. Amen. Breaking generational traits, generational curses, generational upheavals. There are certain families, this is by experience, whereby every August they know there is going to be a terrible accident in the family. Every August. They know there is going to be a terrible accident. I remember in our church we used to have that brother. And this brother, when it happened, that's when he told me. He was almost, he missed death. And then he said, now you look at my young brother. You look at that one. You look at that one. I had another brother again. I think their father had an accident. He used to work construction company. Then he fell. And then I think when he fell, he had a scar and some stitches were put there. Right? And then now the son had an accident. And this son had his sons. That son was actually in that accident. He had a scar right on the same place. And also had some stitches. And there is one in their family who was born exactly even with those stitches. Now, it trains
and traits sometimes that follow the line and that line of blood.
Amen.
So you see right there that there are certain powers and forces that you cannot resist. Unless you become determined and you really stand your ground as a believer, you stand your ground as a Christian and refuse and refute and rebuke and curse the curse.
Amen.
Amen. And you reverse the symptoms and all those other things. Now, what is a curse? Now, a curse is some of those upheavals, like the day you sin, you shall die. Now, that thing is with us. As long as we're in this natural life, it's following us. That's why they read the scripture that Jesus came to take the curse. Now, when it's you or I, now, when you die, we don't say you die, but you sleep. Because the curse of death was taken care of by Jesus Christ. What is death? It's eternal separation with God. You see that now? So, what is a cycle? A cycle is a series of events that are regularly repeated in the same order. It's a series of events that are regularly repeated in the same order. Every year, your leg breaks. Or your son's leg breaks. Or your mother's leg breaks. Series of events regularly repeated. But brother, authority is given by the word to stand right there and claim our deliverance from such traits and things that bother us and things that worry us. Father died with cancer. His son dies with cancer. His grandchild dies with cancer. It's a trait. It's a cycle. But that cycle can be broken. You can come to a time when you say, now, you cycle from henceforth. I am a believer. From now and henceforth, this should stop. Because somebody took our curses. He died for our curses. And he said, it is finished. So that is what a cycle is. So you find that some families, you've got a suicidal spirit which just reigns in there. He committed, the grandfather committed suicide. The child committed suicide. Somewhere along the lines of the family, one of the grandchildren committed suicide. Those are traits and spirits and curses which follow the blood. But when I see the blood, hallelujah, I will pass over you. There is another blood, which when the devil sees, he cannot continue with his program. Amen, amen, amen. So you have marriage cycles. You have marital cycles. You find there is families where you can look at your father. He always had problems with his wife. He was always shouting at his wife. They were always at each other's necks. They were always maybe kicking each other. Right? But you go to the son, the same thing. You go to the grandson, the same thing. It's cycles and traits that follow the blood. Now, you will see how it comes. Now, so, what is a cycle? It's a pattern. It's a rhythm. A recurring of successive operations, that is things that are passed on. Now, it's things that are passed on. You will see the prophet referring to that. Things that are passed on genetically from generation to generation. Did you know that Abraham lied? He said, that's my sister. Obvious, that was a technicality. You can take it both ways. It was a technicality. That's my wife. Are you aware that his son Isaac did the same thing? Same blood. He also said, that's my sister. Same is running through. But that's on the natural. But you will see it on the spiritual aspect also. It runs through. Who is our father? What is our origin? Yes. Now, so you see these things manifest in the flesh. It's actually from your genes. And one might know or notice, but you begin to notice them as they manifest themselves in the flesh. Then you begin to know it has been handed down through the generations. Amen, amen, amen. So there is what we call the passing on of genes from the father combined with the mother. There is things that you pick from there, right? Like I've told you the example of Abraham. So sometimes you begin to see all those things moving, but there is a stage and a point where those things, by the grace of God, can be severed. Now, if you go to genetics, genes are what carries life. Amen? Genes are what carries life. So genetics is the study of cells. The blood cell in there contains you, your traits, the things that moves with you. Now, that's why now on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus was hung there, a blood cell was split open. And out of that blood went out life. And that life that went out from that genetics is what went to form the bride. That's you and I. It's a transfusion of life to you. So you are what you are by the cells that have made you. Genetics is the study of cells or a study of individuals, heredity also, or the population with each organism, and heredity is also called inheritance or biological inheritance. So the passing on of genetic information from parents. So there is genetic information, genetics, which is passed on to you, not by choice, but by virtue of your origin. Now, while we are watching the natural, I want you to be watching also the spiritual. Yes. There is spiritual genetics also, which actually information which is passed on from your father, who is your spiritual father, who is in charge and in control. Amen. So you see right there that so in this passing on of these genes is the passing on of traits running through the blood. He says, the description says, either through sexual reproduction, the offspring cells or organisms acquire the genetic information of their parents. They acquire the genetic information of their parents. Spiritually, you have a father. And who is your father? It's God. So we acquire the genetic information of our father. Yes, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word became flesh. We beheld it. But what was there before the beginning? The prophet said, now let us take a trip. Way back into the mind of God. Before the beginning. What was there before the beginning? What was there? It was just the great fountain spirit. It was not God, because God is an object of worship. And in that fountain of spirit was attributes, was thoughts. And those thoughts were about you. In him was to be a redeemer. In him was to be a father. In him was to be a deliverer. In him was to be a savior. Way back there. And he says he chose us before the foundation of the world. And he says before any molecule, before any atom, he chose us right there. In other words, it was before Genesis 1:1. It was before the time element. Way back there. You were there in the mind of God. And when he chose you right there, my brother, my sister, he chose you and he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He slew a lamb in his mind and wrote your name right there. That was before the beginning of anything. That was before time. No wonder why he says, where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you, my brother? We were in him. We were a part of him. So we were before all these problems. We were before all these upheavals. We were before all this sin and shame. Then he says, when he died, we died with him. So if we died with him, what happened? So when he was dying for your sins, you were also dying for your sins. You were a part of him. Do you see? I'm just trying to show the contrast of how God looks at you. Don't be worried about these little things that come to you. And then the devil says, you are a sinner. You are not a believer. You are like this, brother. Tell that devil, where were you? Where were you, Satan? Where were you when we laid the foundations of this world? Where were you, Satan? You can't start talking of today. The devil always accuses us. He's the accuser of the brethren. Give it back to him. Give it back to him. Where were you? So you see there, there is the offspring cells or the organisms acquire genetic information. These genes are passed on unto you. They've got certain information. If you take the genetic, I was saying there, if you take the genetic structure of God and take the genetic structure of the Son, it must match like those men at Pentecost. You see what happened? And after, what do they say? This promise is unto you, unto your children, and them that shall come from hereafter. In other words, there is a genetic structure. There is a genetic continuation. There is information being passed on until even today we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's within the structure. Now, so you see right there, then we have, we have also now what you call the DNA. No, DNA is, in every living thing, it is a DNA. Now, you say, which is an amazing chemical present in every cell. It contains all the information cells that's needed to make a fish or to make you. It contains all the information cells that's needed to make a fish or to make you. So, your DNA is what made you to be what you are. Are we together? So who you are is what you are in that DNA. DNA is like a template. It says it has got the capacity to replicate itself, to continue on itself. It was not just God. But from God, he is now replicating, having also sons and daughters of God, because it's a gene that replicates itself. So you never struggled to be a Christian. You were a Christian always, and you have been a Christian always, only that you did not know. Brother Abraham says, you were in your father. The father did not know you. And you did not know your father also. But came a time when you were born, then you knew your father, and your father knew you. Then you begin to have fellowship. Do you see that there now? But otherwise, you were always a father. You were in the father. And there has been actually a replication to produce you as a believer. No matter how much the devil accuses you, a son of the Father will remain a son of the Father. I want you to catch that. Don't allow the devil to accuse you, because a son of the Father is always a son of the Father. Why? It's because of the bloodline. And the devil cannot cross that bloodline. He cannot close that bloodline. It's because of the bloodline. It's like with the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son was the son of the father. But it came a time when he wanted to go and spend whatever his inheritance out there. And the father gave him. And when he went, he spent all among bad friends. He squandered all that was meant to be for him. Until finally, he had no good clothes. He didn't have even the ring. He didn't have even the shoes. And worst of all, he began to eat with the pigs. Now, the prophet shows, he says, now, with a covenant that God has made, when you break, he says now, when you do something wrong, he says right there, the covenant still holds. But there is certain privileges that are withdrawn. So you see, with this son, he was always a son, but the privilege of eating good food at the king's table was removed. The privilege of good friends was removed. The privilege of being nicely dressed was removed. But the covenant of being a son continued on. That's why the father every day would go to watch, when is my son coming? And the day he seen him coming, he was so happy, because a son is always a son. You can't deny what was in the genetic structure, because that's what makes you. So you see, when he came, he says, take him, wash him, clothe. He said, no, I'm not worthy to be a son anymore. The father never listened to that. He says, quickly take him, dress him, anoint him, take him to the table. In other words, a son is always a son. Some of us are offended by little things that we do. Oh, you know, yesterday I was trapped and I lied a little. So I don't think I'm a son now. Our righteousness, we are trying to work out our righteousness. But righteousness is not like that. He says, what is a righteous man? Then the prophet says, a righteous man is a man, is not a sinless man. But is a man who, when he sins, he confesses his sins in the blood of the sinless one. No wonder why he said unto Abraham, Abraham, walk before me and be thou righteous. And when Abraham believed that, and he did that, that was apportioned to him. It was imputed to him as righteousness. Now, imputation is being given what you don't have. It's like you are being smeared of what you are not. In other words, Abraham, for what he was not. But God, because he believed God's word, God imputed him for righteousness. So your righteousness is God's imputation upon you. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you are a part of him. You are a part of him. Now, fine. So you see, so genes carry information that gets passed from one generation to another generation. And that's what determines one child has blonde hair and the mother, their mother, and while the other sibling has brown hair like their father. Right. And then you have also, they say there are also some genetic diseases and things like that. So, what am I saying? Your natural life and traits is handed down from the natural breeding of your father and mother. Now, let me pick this. So, as the gem of the natural life is brought down from the father to the father, so is the life of Christ gematized, says the prophet. A quotation there, the God of this evil age. For as the gem of natural life is brought down, gematized from father to father, to father to father, so is the life of Christ gematized. No? Do you see? The same traits from father to father. Would you almost, like I was thinking of it yesterday, look at the Elijah spirit. The prophet says it's manifested 5 times. Elijah the Tishbite, Elijah in Elisha, Elijah in John the Baptist, Elijah in Malachi 4, Brother Branham, Elijah when the ministry of Elijah and Moses. You will find that spirit is its characteristics that you could be able to pick up from all those. Why would Brother Branham love to be in the woods, out in the wilderness? Look at Elijah, the Tishbite, is the characteristics of the spirit. Now, these were five, maybe these were three or four totally different people altogether. But the genetic structure, the spiritual genetic structure, was such that it was the same spirit which operated in Elijah, is the same one which operated in Elisha, the same one in John the Baptist, the same one right in Malachi 4. So you see the trends coming with all those similarities because it's within the spiritual genes. Amen. So your natural traits is handed down from the natural breeding of your father. So is the Spirit of God that was predestinated before the foundation of the world. Brother Branham is asked the question in paradox. There is a little boy. Then this boy had his girl. And somehow he did something to this girl. And the boy could not say, I am sorry. I think you are familiar with this story. And when he couldn't say, I am sorry, the parents, the father and the mother were worried. They went to Brother Branham. Brother Branham, this is what our son has done. But he can't say sorry. We're trying to tell him to say sorry. He cannot say sorry. Now, his answer went back to the genetics of the families. You understand that? He says, the genes in the mother and father of this boy have been interbred out to this boy. Right. That's now paragraph 26 of paradox. Now the genes in the father and the mother of this boy, no matter how much they are converted, still remains the flesh that's been interbred out to this boy. And now when we take to the spiritual, we also say, no matter how much it's in the bread, the genes, the spiritual gene remains in these Christians. Are we together? You say, therefore the boy has got a complex in him. Just like from the mother's family. And they are not forgiving. And they will not apologize. And that's where that boy stands. Do you see where Brother Branham comes? He doesn't say, now he's a naughty boy, you better spank him. If you spank him, whatever. He goes back to the roots. He goes back to the genetic formation. He says the mother in their family, their genes, they cannot forgive. And they will not apologize. There's people like that who when they've done wrong, they cannot say sorry. A husband has offended his wife. No? Instead of saying sorry, he goes to buy maybe a big pizza. Just say, okay, you can. Okay, a good pizza is okay. Maybe on top of saying sorry. But the pizza is not sorry. But it's always the case. Or a boy or a girl has disappointed the parents. So he comes and says, Mama, today I'll do all the dishes and I'll work in the yard. You know, I love you, Mama. Yes, it's okay, but say sorry. But there is people who cannot say sorry. There is people who cannot apologize. I think Pastor knows it. Sometimes we see it in Pastor work that somebody comes and says, now, Pastor, I've just come to see you. You know, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know, I've wronged him in many things. You know, that's why I came to see you, that the Lord can have mercy upon me. You know, I'm like the word says, we are all sinners. He has said nothing. There is something ought to say before God. I've done this wrong thing. Before my wife, I've done this wrong thing. I am sorry. Do you see now the strength of the natural life? The boy could not say sorry. Yet the prophet says he was a nice boy. Maybe he was even a singer in church. But he could not say that. Now, he says now, Now I said to the father, no matter how much you have raised him up, I said, now look at you, out of your family, all them drunks and fighting and shooting and cutting and so forth. He's speaking the father's line. He says, in your family, look, they are drunkards, they are always fighting, they are always cutting. It runs through there. But now, after those generational spirits have been broken, husband and wife can change and be real sweethearts. Oh, I love my wife. She's my sweetheart. She's my better half. I won't ill-treat her. And she loves me too. Then you take yourself in a stance whereby you are so sweet. Something has happened to you. It's not just a story, but it's the reality of the love that God has placed in you for each other. Amen, amen, amen. You find sometimes husbands are so rough and so hard. Oh, I was enjoying, I was telling my wife, I said, we are with Brother Doug here. I see something here. You know, I was just thinking of you and me. You know, he loves his wife. I said, they are always together in the car. We were going around. They are talking and the old lady is just smiling and laughing and so on. I said, one of these days, I think if God, the Lord tarries, you will see that old lady and that old man. You can tell, you can see. There is something that's in the midst. There is something real. There is something genuine. There is something, oh, my brother, my sister, the Holy Ghost is much able to accomplish it in us. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nay, God is more than able. Now, so we see right there, what am I saying? Let me skip some of those things there. The genes in the mother and the father of this boy have been interbred out to this boy. Is the flesh is in there. But now, what am I saying? Jeremiah 31. We're going now to the changeover. Jeremiah 31, verse 29. In those days they shall no longer say the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. You see that? Ezekiel, the word, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. That was a proverb in Israel. That was a proverb in our lives. That is, the father ate sour grapes, you have an age. But then comes a time whereby now we cannot get an age by what the father has eaten. We cannot suffer by what the father has done. We cannot go into trouble because of what X has done. In other words, it's each one of us that the Lord Jesus Christ died for. So we have access to his grace. Not through our own bloodline, but through the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there we see the changeover. The proverb has changed. It has got to come to a place and a time in our lives where the proverb has to change. Oh, my parents are like this, so I'm like that. Oh, my parents did this, so I'm like this. Brother, my parents need their own grace and you need your own grace. You have to have the grace of God through the blood by the cross and that you are acquitted. So you see right there, he says, in that day they shall no longer say the fathers have eaten, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Change over. So the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. Verse 20 of Ezekiel 18. The soul, I want you to catch something, that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Why does he say the soul that sinneth shall die? Now, Brother Branham, in many related messages, he points out that the soul is that spiritual gene from God. He says, is that spiritual gene from God? He says, it's either faith or doubt. It's either God or Satan. Right there in the soul. You remember how he goes to speak about the body? It goes to the spirit and then it goes to the soul. That he lined up now when he was, after preaching, after the opening of that word, then he said it's the body, spirit, and soul. It used to be vice versa. Yes, and says the soul is the innermost. But the body, by which we get conduct to the earth, by the five senses, by what we see, by what we hear, by what we feel, by what we smell, and this is always disturbing to us. Our faith and our belief and our stance is beyond this body. Right. Then it goes now to the spirit. Then you have got also those five conscience and so on and so on. But we know that the innermost, which is the soul, is not affected by all these things. Right. That's the spiritual gene of God. Amen. That's what God is looking at. That which came from God. That which goes back to God. That one is clean and pure and unadulterated. And it's right there in that portion of the heart where he says, right in there, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it comes to cleanse that little white cloud. He says from the beginning out there, right, it was that great fountain spirit. And from the fountain spirit came out that light, which he says the scholars call the Logos. Right. And that Logos, now, that's God becoming bodilized. God beginning to take shape and form. Because a spirit has no shape. A spirit has no form. But now with this Logos, that light there, God becoming bodilized. Now, beginning to condescend to a level where he could be a part of us. And he says now from that light there came now that little cloud. And that little cloud there came and it came and it came and that little cloud was man. It was you. Do you see the source of that cloud was not man and woman. The source of that cloud, which is that gene, was God himself. Do you see that? Do you see that? So right there, then he says now, God now came. In order now, he says now, when men sinned, he says now, that white cloud was mad. He says it was mad. But now when he comes by his death, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he says he comes now to that cloud to remove that dark. And that cloud becomes white again. It comes back to what it was. It was a part of God. Like Jesus said, I come from God and I go back to God. He says it was like, I come from becoming God. I'm here, the pillar of fire and flesh. Then after this, I go back to becoming God. And we can say the same. We came from God and we go back to be a part of God. So there is no way the devil can ever change, can ever disfigure what God made us to be. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we come with authority to condemn the devil and say, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, let loose on sons and daughters of God. You have no power over them. You can get them to suffer. with all those cancers, with all those sugar diabeteses, with all those things. You have come to set us free. God heals cancer. God heals sugar diabetes. Oh, I always love the testimony of my young brother. Last born in our family, he had cancer. And now he had cancer, and the doctor, the physician said he has cancer. Fortunately, Mr. Matanga, your young boy is going. I said, doctor, where you end is where God starts. Says, no, I'm a physician. Last week I told one, and he died. And I'm telling you, I'm not telling you stories. Come, see the x-ray. All the inside is eaten. We'll keep him in hospital for 2 days so we can write notes that when you go home, you know how best to keep him. I said, okay, doctor, in those 2 days we'll be praying. The God of heaven will be doing something. Now, after that the 2 days, said, okay, Mr. Matanga, we want to keep him for one more week. I said, okay, yes. And then after a week, he says, after 2 weeks, he says, Mr. Matanga, there is a distant change. It's like nothing to be excited about. Your brother is critical, but this, I said, yes, we can almost see like a little cloud sounding the great abundance of rain. Said, Mr. Matanga, he's sick. I said, yes, doctor. Until he kept him more than 3 weeks. The boy was useless. He couldn't help himself. And then from nowhere we begin to see. He was now not giving him any medication. We begin to see hard scales. I would take a razor blade to remove. Scaling off. Then I said, this is what the prophet said. Yes. Earlier on, my mother had been crying that day. I said, mother, sister, don't cry. Because this, we have a prophet who was sent in this day. He said, not even cancer will stand before you. We believe that prophet and we believe the word. Then finally the doctor says, your brother is out of danger. He was discharged from hospital. He walked again. He got married and had 7 children. Many years later, then he died. Not of cancer. Now, this now when he was healing, we went to the doctor. It had eaten this bone. They took an x-ray. He said, now that the bone is eaten and there was pus coming out, so we should operate. I said, doctor, can't we just give the same God a chance who did this to heal him, to work on the bone? He says, okay, let's give it time. After a month or so, we went back. Then he says, but Mr. Matanga, there is a new bone that's growing. Amen. Covering the little left old bone. And after that, later, the little old bone just shot from there and we saw it. God healing cancer. Amen. 15, 20 years later, he got sick. He had pneumonia. Another doctor took an x-ray for the chest. And he made a mistake and went to the hands. And the doctor said, I'm surprised, Mr. Matanga. I didn't intend, but it just spilled over. I see the bone this side is different to the bone this other side. What happened? I said some 20 or 22 years ago, this man had cancer and God grew a new bone in him. That's the one you see different. Oh, my brother, my sister. That's what your God can do over your condition. That same God can do it to you, my brother, my sister. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nay. That pain you feel within your bowels, that pain you feel within your back, that pain you feel within your leg, our God is more than able. He will do it again. Oh yes, he will do it again. That's what your God can do. So you see, we come to this other dispensation now. Where there is an occasion, the proverb has changed the believers. It's a breaking of those hereditary traits, giving you another inheritance by the spiritual gene of Jehovah God. That day on Calvary, that day in the upper room, there was genetic transformation. There was an activation of a spiritual gene that was put in those believers. And you see, this man at Antioch, they look like Christ. And they nicknamed them Christians, Christ-like. In other words, that gene that was in Christ was now in them, and they were producing, that gene was now replicating itself spiritually. That's why so many people wonder, in a world that we live, they wonder what type of a people we are. Coming in church maybe 2 times a week, reading spoken words, praying, believing. They wonder, but we have a spiritual gene that's replicating itself in us. It's something that's beyond you. It's something that's beyond us. You might decide today that from now onwards I won't come to church. Yes, we'll just pray for you. We know that gene will bring you back. Whether after 2 weeks or 1 year, we'll begin to see you come back again. Oh, brother Doug, I've come back. I want to serve the Lord again. What had happened? It's that gene in you. It dictates the pace of your life. Amen. So we see right there that Satan comes in our lives trying to threaten us, trying to disarm us. But our answer is, Satan, you can't cross the blood line. Because when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Because right in the blood is where that life is. When that gene is, that cell is split open, it releases a life. Do you see that? That's why in the Old Testament, they were told now to kill a lamb, put it on the doorpost. When it was put on the doorpost, that angel of death, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's why with Rahab, she was asked in type to put that red cloth. When actually the destruction would come, seeing the red cloth, right, it would just pass. So in other words, the devil can't cross the bloodline. And that bloodline is the life of Jesus Christ. And that lifeline of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in your life, you accepting and acknowledging this word, this message of the hour is life unto you. When you accept it in you, it begins to replicate itself in you. Brothers, we are privileged. How on earth would God ever write even this message on mountains? We saw that part there which looks like maybe dynamite was put and it ripped open, maybe that rock. Huh? Why was it ripped maybe around 33 or 35? Why was it not done earlier? And exactly on that spot. And you see Eagle Rock. Why? And you see eagles flying all over. Why you look up somewhere there, you see something that looks like those creatures. Why? God testifying, it's a mighty visitation that we have received in the end times. And with such a visitation, it ought to calm us. Like the pastor was saying in the beginning, all things happening around us, but we have a bomb shelter. Our bomb shelter is the message of the hour. We are hiding right in there. We feel so safe and so secure. We feel nothing will ever take place. We feel we are just safe in there. Our God will see us through the tumultuous times that we are living under. More hideous things are yet to come. We hear of these hurricanes. More hideous things are yet to come. We look forward to see even the squeeze. But thank God, we have got a weaponry. The manifestation of the third pool in its fullness. Yes, as much as it has begun to happen, but the fullness of it, we'll see it then. Yes, it's a process. Yes, the rapture is a process. Right? It's a process. A shout, a voice, a trump. It's a process. In other words, the resurrection of the dead and the change of the body is the final of what has been taking place all along. So my brother, my sister, don't let even the devil make you doubt about the rapture, because we have already started walking in the process. You are amening to the process this morning. You are saying hallelujah to the process this morning. You are saying even so come Lord Jesus to the process this morning. We know we are safe, sound, and secure. The devil cannot get us in any way because God has already laid it down for us. So Satan can't cross the bloodline. Jesus Christ is the cycle breaker. Oh, why? Because surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, he came to take and to shoulder all that we're supposed to suffer. He came to be the protection of those who are unprotected. He came to be the power for those who didn't have the power. He is all that it takes for us to get there. He is all that we need to be in the rapture. He is our all in all. Let the world go the way it is going. But we thank God we are the only people on earth who know why things are going the way they are going. The politics of the world is going this way. The economics of the people is going this way. There is no way the economics of the whole world will ever change. You begin to see now things that are happening is to drain nations of all their coffers and their savings, so that finally there is another Superman, another kind of like system that is to come up, which will say we have the ability to finance you, the ability to give you the money, and then we begin to subscribe to that. Unawares, already we are into a system, a religious, political system that will usher us in all the rest of the stages that we have got to go into. So, you know, when you see these things happening, you just say, Lord, these are only events being made clear by prophecy. When we see this is happening, we appeal to prophecy. We go back to the messages. We go back to those messages preached, and we have an answer why this is happening the way it is happening. Why the nations are at loggerheads. Why the economies are failing. Why all the systems are crumbling. We appeal to prophecy. Then we see the prophet of our age said it all. So just say, let it be, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So finally, what could I say? Abraham was our father of faith. So we begin to see a shift now from the natural to the spiritual. By descent, spiritually, we don't belong to this race. But by believing, having the faith of Abraham, we are co-opted into this as sons and daughters of Abraham. So we begin to see another lineage, which is not leaned to the natural, but it's a lineage which is coming by the spirituality lineage. Until the Bible says, Abraham is our father of faith. Now, you are identified by your father. When Jesus saw them, he says, you are of your father, the devil. Now, he didn't talk to them so much, but he identified them by their father. He says, you lie, you cheat, you do all these things. He picked the characteristics of their father. And then he identified the children by the characteristics of the father. So we are identified also by the characteristics of our father, Abraham, the faith of Abraham. And we become a part of that royal seed by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this line is cut off to them that believe. We are aligned or realigned now to another line through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we see here that we have spiritual genes which have information about you as a believer, which is passed on from generation to generation. For example, you had this man that was Abraham, yes. When he met Melchizedek, you know what happened? He served communion. And by revelation, it was revealed to him to pay tithes. And he counted them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. Now, where would Melchizedek take those things? In other words, if ever he drove the cattle, he just went behind the mountain, let off the cattle, and those cattle finally find their way back again. But now, when Abraham paid tithes, we understand that Levi, who was a great-grandchild, the fourth generation, he was reckoned to have paid tithes while he was in the loins of Abraham. He received a blessing of having done something which he himself physically did not do, but genetically it was done by his great-great-great-grandfather. Oh my. May God help us, brothers. May God help us, brothers. It's not what we have done, but it's what Jesus Christ did for you. It's not what we can labor and run around for, but it's what God has already done for us. We are worthy of nothing, but he is worthy of all. And we are identified in him. The scripture says he chose us in him for his own glory. Just to enjoy himself. I want Brother Doug. I want Brother Dan. I want Brother Joe. He chose us in him for his own glory, not for your own glory. So you're here to show his glory. He enjoys your being here. When he sees you say amen, like somebody was saying, you say, yeah, I'm enjoying her. You say hallelujah, says, yeah, I'm enjoying. You smile, say, yes, I'm enjoying. For his own glory. And when was that? Way before the foundation of the world. Way before you ever existed. By his foreknowledge, he predestinated you unto your destination. Predestination is unto destiny. Amen. So what is simply happening right now through his word, we are receiving our adoption, being adopted, and adoption is authority, adoption is power, adoption is the capability to exercise your position. As a child of God, as a son of God, as a daughter of God, you should be able to exercise your position. While you are in your kitchen and the kitchen is burning, you can't receive any help anywhere. You say, Lord, I pray right now. May this fire just stop. And brother, that fire will just stop. Hallelujah. All things are possible. Yes, all things are possible. Maybe a couple wants a baby. They don't have a baby. You just say, oh, you can come around. We'll pray for you. You lay your hands right there. You say, in the name of Jesus Christ, by virtue of the way, how we have made this, the wife of our brother, she should carry a child. She should be able to suckle a baby. She has got all the potential. The devil has stood in the way. In the name of Jesus Christ, thou demon of barrenness, come out of her. Brother, it will take leave. The brother in our church who came, he was a policeman, and he did have a child. 10 years he was married. And then he says, now, I've come in the message of the hour, but we don't have baby. We're being given charms and so on. It doesn't work. I said, now that you've come in the message of the hour, the God of the message of the hour will give you. Not a child, children. Oh, he says, yes. He said, yes. Brother, it didn't take long. After 2 months or so, the wife was expecting. Now, I think they have 5 or 6 children. Some of them are marriageable now. That's what your God is able to do. Taking your position. And position is authority. Authority comes by adoption. You know who you are. You know where you come from. Like Brother Bram says, yes, knowing where you came from. Knowing who you are, knowing where you come back, where you are going back to. We were way back as a part of God. We are being manifested as sons and daughters of God. When all is done and finished, we go back again as a part of him. You know that that's power. You know that that's authority. There is no demon. There is no evil spirit. There is no disease that can stand before you. You can cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ. Even your situation at work, God can change it. Because he's a cycle breaker. Maybe the company was not performing. You can just offer a word of prayer and the company will start to perform. Maybe it was on the verge of closing and it will just start to. Reminds me one time, sometime last year when Port Elizabeth, just preaching at a combined meeting with those churches around there. Then from nowhere, you know, preachers, sometimes things just happen. Yeah. There was a brother sitting somewhere in France, says, now, your company might just be in the verge of closing. They might have just are closing the company. The company could be closing. But let me tell you, God can turn around and change. Right now, we call upon the God to write a memo right now.
Yeah. Right.
You know, back home, when we went back home, a week later, I said, Pastor, the pastor phone said, you know, following week, third day, the brother said, I was shocked that a memo was written to the company by another company. I can't remember whether from the States or whatever. He says, we want now to twin the companies. The company is going on, so you are not losing your jobs. And the brother was saying, we're not. Oh, my brother, our God is more than able. Our God is capable. He can raise your faith to levels where all things are possible. Your problems become possibilities. They become stepping stones to take you to a higher level. Like David says, when I'm low, when I'm overtaken, Lord, lift me high. Lord, take me to a higher level. Take me to a higher thing. God is more than able. He can even bypass all procedure.
That's right.
Yes, he can. Like Jesus. There was no wine. He took water. Brother Brown says it could have been potentially wine. But it was water. And he bypassed the procedures. Water was turned into wine. There was bread. No more bread. Finished. He didn't wait to grow some more wheat and harvest wheat and have flour. What did he do? He bypassed procedure. Just from the little bread and the little fish, lunch for a small boy, he just broke and broke and broke and broke until leftovers could fill even five or whatever baskets. That's God bypassing procedure. God can bypass procedure to do with your health. You are up for an operation, but God can bypass that procedure. He can bypass that procedure. You just get there, the doctor said, it's done. Like on the wife of the prophet, when the knives were there and everything and everything and everything, the doctor's trying to look at that thing there, he says, it's no more. God bypassed procedure. Oh, it is my prayer this morning that God can bypass procedures over my problems, procedures over my life, procedures. Oh, my brother, my sister, your son can be back in the world. Your daughter can be back in the world. Your husband can be back in the world. But God can bypass all procedures. Maybe in the next few weeks, you will see your son say, I want to go with you to church, mama. Oh, hubby, I want to go with you to church. God can bypass all procedure. Bypass all the drugs. Bypass all the things that are bolting them down. And then you see them back saying, hallelujah, amen again. God can bypass procedure. Why? Because that spiritual gene is there. Amen, amen. Can you say amen? Can somebody say hallelujah? Oh, may his wonderful name be blessed. I feel like I can just stop here. May his wonderful name be blessed. May God richly bless you and undertake for you. And make a way for you. Just as I hand over to the pastor, I feel burdened just maybe to offer a word of prayer. Maybe there is somebody here this morning who say, I have a condition and a situation where I want God to bypass a procedure. You can show by raising your hand. Before I hand over to the pastor, I want to pray for you. Blessed Lord Jesus, with all these hands that are up, they could be spiritual or natural procedures that need to be performed. But I stand here, Lord God Almighty, just as a co-worker in this field, Lord, with our precious pastor of this church, Lord, and pray for these hands that in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God Almighty, you may bypass all their procedures, all their hassles and all the bustles. Lord, may you just make out a way. Lord God Almighty, I pray whatever desire that they have, may they be fulfilled. If you've done it for others, you can also do it for them. Many wonderful works were done out here, Lord God Almighty, even through the preaching of the word by our pastor and by the many other ministers and by the prophet. And Lord, you can still do it again. Behind these hands that have been raised up in the name of Jesus Christ, we are condemning the enemy. We are casting out the devil in Jesus Christ's name. Satan, you have no power over sons and daughters of God. From henceforth, may they receive whatever desire and need they have. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, believing. Amen and amen. I hand over.